Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, science fiction. Later on, we hear the story Project Mastodon on X-1. Right now, it's Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today. This March 29th, 1953 broadcast, first heard on CBS, directed by Anthony Ellis, it's the Michael Gray story, The Invader.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are seated before the dials of your radio receiver, listening to a faint voice from the blackness beyond, while the one who speaks with words of friendship is debating the destruction of your world.
Listen now as Escape brings you Michael Gray's exciting story, The Invader.
Here in the Nevada desert, our forward observation post is a slit trench less than 2 miles from ground zero of Operation Doorstep 8A bomb test. The time exactly 30 seconds to H hour. That's the voice of our official guide, Colonel Jim Donovan.
All personnel, put on protective glasses and get below contravetments. We have H hour minus 16, 15... 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There it goes. There it is. You'll hear the sound of the explosion any second now.
Did you see that flash, Commander?
Yes. Check the cyclo gauges for reactions.
Yes, sir. No reaction, zero count. What an extraordinary race.
Very primitive. The main object appears to be to kill each other off at periodic intervals.
I wonder why the Council doesn't order extinction.
There's hope. That's why we've been sent.
But the red zero disks vanished on the same job last Delo. Why waste more lives? The things should be exterminated.
Don't be unscientific. The red zero disks probably disobeyed orders and landed on water.
Water?
Yes, water.
Oh, what a place. What do they call those creatures, Commander?
Humans.
Humans? What an odd name.
I'm afraid they're a very odd race.
Yes, Martha.
I saw the bomb test on television this morning. Did you see it in school?
No, dear.
Oh. Where are you going now?
Into the lab. Call me when dinner's ready, will you, dear? Yeah, let's see.
Albert, I want to talk to you.
Huh?
I said I want to talk to you.
Oh, yes, dear, of course.
I saw Mrs. Warren today.
Yes, dear.
Will you stop messing around and pay attention to what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, dear.
I should merely like to remind you that Mrs. Warren is your school principal's wife. She hinted that he's not pleased with your work. In fact, he's not pleased at all. Albert, did you hear what I said?
Yes. Yeah, yes, dear.
Come back here. Now, stand still and listen to me. How do you think I feel having the principal's wife laughing at you and laughing at me, too? This is the third job you've had in the past 2 years, and you are going to keep this one. I know it's hard for a scientific genius to settle down teaching 12th grade chemistry, but this time you're going to stick, I mean it, Albert. You're making yourself the laughingstock of the school with your crazy experiments, and it's got to stop. I'm just not going to spend the rest of my life following you around from job to job like a gypsy.
Well, of course, dear. Well, I understand.
You'd better understand. I'm not going to stand for it anymore. And if you're not down for dinner in 5 minutes, there won't be any dinner for you.
Commander, magnetron's oscillating.
Probably magnetic storms.
No, it's a definite signal on our channel. Perhaps the council's calling.
Raise and bring it in.
Station MXA calling. Station MXA calling. Station MXA, over and out.
That's not the council. Check the frequency.
It's the emergency band.
Somebody's playing a joke. Tell them to clear the ether.
Stellar disk white zero now. Who's calling?
Moment. Ask for code check.
Stellar disk white zero now. Give name. Code check.
Station MXA. Where are you?
Give me the frequent tone. Listen, MXA. This is commander of Delta ship white zero null on space mission. Get off this channel. Make a note for the log. We'll report it back to the council. What was his identification?
Sounded like MXA.
MXA. MXA. Check the cyclo listing.
There's no such station listed, Riss.
There must be. Cross-check and fix.
Yes, Riss. No. Absolutely no listing.
Oh, no. It's impossible. Those blundering primates couldn't have the intelligence.
What's primates, Riss?
Humans. It's incredible, but use the magna band. We'll keep emergency open. Fix and raise MXA immediately.
Delta ship white zero null. Delta ship white zero null.
Are you coming down to supper?
Martha. Martha, it's amazing. I've made contact. I spoke to them.
Spoke to who?
Delta white zero null. I've checked the station list. There's no such call sign. It means only one thing, Martha. One thing. Space. Men in space. You know what that means,
Martha? Oh, stop it! Albert, when are you going to grow up? Your dinner's getting cold.
Commander Delta White Zero Null, calling station MXA. Where are you located?
Commander Delta White Zero Null, this is station MXA. MXA, I'm located at La Mirada, California.
What planet?
Planet Earth. That's continent of North America. Who are you? Repeat who you are. Over.
Are you humans?
Yes. You aren't...
No. Of course not. We're of Epsilon from the race of planetoid Delta.
Delta?
On mission of exploration for the Council.
Council?
The Council of Quantum Major of the Nebulae Ursula. We're arriving in your atmosphere in 2 delos more to examine your planet. We cannot continue this unauthorized contact without permission from the Council. If granted, we will raise contact again at your earliest light time tomorrow.
Oh, did you hear that, Martha? Did you hear?
Are you or are you not coming down to dinner?
Oh, I've done it. Out there in space is another intelligence, another race. And I've made contact.
For the last time, are you coming down
to dinner? Martha, listen, I've made one of the most important discoveries of the century. The first contact with another world, another people or something. Think what it'll mean for civilization. Think what they'll bring. Maybe a whole new way of life.
It's just another one of those radio amateur friends of yours playing a joke.
Oh, no, Martha, that's impossible. The frequency's completely outside the UHF band. No station could even reach the range, much less transmit speech. Oh, yes, tomorrow I can ask questions now. I can find out more about it.
All right, now, I've stood enough. I've watched you wreck job after job with your silly crackpot ideas. I've been hoping that you'd come to your senses.
Oh, but you heard, Martha.
I've put up with this pile of junk long enough. If you don't come to your senses once and for all, I'm through with you.
Oh, but Martha,
I'll give you 5 minutes more to wash and get downstairs, or I'm through Albertana. I mean it.
Oh.
Albert.
Yeah.
Wake up, Albert. It's Seth.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, I'm kind of seven. Oh, yes, of course.
Hurry up and get showered, or you'll be late.
Of course. Oh, I mustn't be late. My. Let me see now. Early light time. Early light time. Oh, I hope I'm not late.
Where are you going?
He said he'd make contact early and late. Light time. Don't worry about breakfast, dear. Just fix some coffee.
You're getting showered and dressed now. Now, do you hear me? You know what the principal said the last time you were late.
Martha, I'm not going to school.
Yo.
Oh, I can't. What? Don't you understand, dear? Today I'm going to contact Delta White. No. In fact, I'm going to contact him right now.
You mean to tell me that you're risking your job for that crazy...
Oh, Martha, it's not crazy. Nobody on this earth could have transmitted on that frequency. There's only one explanation.
All right. I can see that there's only one solution to this. And you've asked for it.
Martha, don't. Martha, stop. What are you going to do? Martha!
Get away from that door.
Martha,
by the
please.
Time I finish with this place, get out of my way. All you'll need is a broom.
Martha, stop. Stop it, I say, Martha. Now then, you listen to me for a change. For 14 years, I've been teaching sniveling little monsters to blow themselves up for less money than a garbage collector. And for 10 years, I've listened to you nag me out of any sort of manhood. But if you lay one finger on that equipment or come in this room again without my express permission, I'll kill you. XA calling Delta White 0-0. Station MXA calling Delta White 0-0.
This is Delta White 0-0 to Station MXA. Can you read us?
You're coming in loud and clear.
Council authorizes to continue contact. What is your name and function?
My name's Tanner. Albert Tanner. I'm a chemistry teacher at La Mirada High School.
A scientist?
Yes. Well, kind of, in a way.
We too have servants of learning. Did you construct this magnetron channel?
Yes, but I'm afraid it's a bit elementary. I had to use war surplus stuff, and that's never very satisfactory.
Oh, Is there war in your territory at this moment?
Oh, no. No, Commander. Oh, everything's quite peaceful here.
Good. We're looking for a suitable land space and don't want to arrive in the middle of your hostilities.
You'd be very welcome, Commander. We've plenty of space and open fields all around us here. It'd be a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Tanner.
You're welcome, Commander. Might I ask, what is the position of your planet?
Planetoid Delta is 5 light years behind the summer solstice.
I'm afraid I don't understand that.
In elementary mathematical formulae, its gamma is to the power of epsilon to the 7th vector.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes, of course. Now, how is it we haven't observed your planetoid before? I couldn't find you on any of our star atlases.
We're exactly opposite your sun. This would make observation by ordinary optical instruments impossible. But with our magnetic electroscopes, we're able to filter out the sol rays and observe you perfectly.
I see. Oh, I see, Commander. When do you expect to arrive?
By your time, late in your so-called afternoon. We shall determine that by later contact.
And Commander, might I ask a personal question?
Of course.
What do you, what do you look like?
Like all members of the race Delta of the Nebulae Ursula, of course. Is there any other way to look?
Police Department, Sergeant Williams.
This is Mrs. Tanner, 35 Crescent Heights. My husband just made contact with a Delta Zero something in space, and they're going to land this afternoon.
Oh, would you say that a little slower, please?
I said that the men from space are going to land this afternoon. I heard my husband talking to them. You've got to send some policemen out here, because I'm afraid...
Oh, yes, ma'am. Now, take it easy. How did you say your husband got this information?
Through the radio.
Sure.
Got through his radio.
Sure, I understand. These spacemen radioed your husband.
But I keep telling you, I heard them. The door was open. I could hear them very distinctly. Oh, please, 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 you've got to send help.
Yeah, this sounds like a matter for the Army, Mrs. Tanner. Why don't you call them?
Oh, but I don't see why I can't call. All right, I'll call them. What's their number? Oh, please, please,
yeah,
hurry.
Well, one moment.
Oh, please, hurry. Are you still there? Please.
It's Mirada 4637.
Yes, thank you. I'll call them right away.
Yeah, you do that, Mrs. Tanner.
Yes,
they'll take
thank
care
you, thank
of
you. M-4-6-3. Oh, no. M-I-4-6-3-7. Oh, please, hurry, please, hurry.
U.S. Army, Camp Reynolds.
Can I speak to somebody in charge, please? It's urgent, it's very
What's
urgent.
What's it about, please?
We're being invaded by Delta White. I mean, it's spaceships that are coming.
Hold the line, please. I'll give you the duty officer.
Are you still there?
Officer of the day, Lieutenant Jacobs.
My name is Mrs. Tanner, Mrs. Albert Tanner, 35 Crescent Heights. Now, please, you've got to send soldiers out here right away. My husband is talking to the
man. Oh, that's interesting, Commander. How long have you been in space?
By your time, 5 months. But remember, our speed is twice the speed of light.
Uh-huh. Do you use atomic energy?
Discarded in our bleak age. We use the natural magnetic forces that surround the universe.
What about friction heat caused by your velocity through the atmosphere?
Our speed is adjustable by control of the magnetic fields we ride in. In any case, the disk hull is of Trexendium. It's pressured to withstand anything. Anything, that is, but water.
But water... But everything in nature has water, even the Human body is 80% water.
What? You have water in your body?
Yes. It's in different forms, say, such as blood or sweat, but it's still water.
Thank you for warning us.
What's wrong with water?
To humans, apparently nothing. But to our life form, water is a deadly corrosive.
But our atmosphere contains water.
We know, and have sufficient exterior protection for the moisture of your atmosphere. Did you say your habitation was inland?
Yes. Yes, you're perfectly safe, sir. We're over 100 miles from the nearest ocean or river. Now, if you will follow my carrier signal down to the landing, you'll be all right.
Thank you, Tanner. I'll report your assistance to the council. Do you think your authorities will object to our visit?
I'm sure they won't, sir. They'll be honored. We'll all be honored.
Listen, young man. I'm neither mad nor is this a joke. Are you or are you not going to help?
Mrs. Tanner, the CO's away for the weekend, and I've got an appointment. Can't it wait till Monday?
Look, either you send help right away, or I'll send a report of your conduct to my congressman with a copy to your commanding general.
Yes, Mrs. Tanner, I'll be over.
Do you really trust that human, Commander?
Well, there isn't much option. We've orders to carry out. It's an incredible race, but Tanner seems harmless enough.
We're meeting pressure, Riss.
Probably entering the outer atmosphere. Better start degaussing and settle on his carrier.
2700-02. No change.
Switch on the water oscillograph.
Oscillograph on.
Variation?
None.
Good. We'd better check again with Tanner until we see ground.
Right away, Riss.
Delta to MXA. Delta to MXA. Over.
MXA to Delta. You're in, loud and strong.
We're entering your atmosphere.
I'll check your approach on radar and keep tracking you.
We're going off ether. Leave your channel open.
Albert.
Yeah, Martha, I thought I told you to...
This is Lieutenant Jacobs from Camp Reynolds, Albert. I heard you talking to the Delta man, and I was so scared.
Your wife was worried, so she wanted me to come over.
Oh, I see. I suppose she told you a story about men from space?
Well, yes, sir.
Oh, all right. You probably think I'm crazy, but you'll see. They're coming in right now, using my channel as a ground approach. You been through signal school?
I'm from 27th Signal Corps, sir.
I see. Then you'll recognize the equipment.
There's something wrong, Rick.
Wrong? Reverse the fields, quickly.
There's water.
Tanner.
We're approaching water, Rick.
Tanner, cross-check our position. We have a danger reading.
You're heading straight for us, Commander. You're safe. Why, you're perfectly safe.
Check it again.
There's a great deal of water.
Did you check it again?
Yes, I did. There's a great deal of water, Rick.
Tanner.
A great big body of
there's
water.
There's water down there. Tanner, our signals are at danger. Strong danger. Cross-check your fix. Counter-reverse the magnet. It's water. It's water. Masses and masses of water. Tanner! We've hit water! It's an ocean! Help! Help! We're burning! Ah!
Delta? Delta! What's happened?
Cross-check their position, sir. The signal's getting weaker, but your fix is right. It's within 100 yards of this set.
Let's get outside. Maybe it crashed into the fields.
Where is it? There's nothing out there.
But there must be. Maybe it crashed into the trees or... Come on, come on.
Albert! Albert! Look!
I'll read it, sir, but I don't
go
think
on.
It...
Go on.
On Saturday, July 14th, at 1400 hours, a telephone call was received from Mrs. Albert Tanner, etc., etc., and so forth. And on going out to the back lot, we could see no sign of the space disk. Our attention was then drawn by Mrs. Tanner to the fish pond from which steam could be seen rising. On inspecting the pond, a small circular object approximately 8 inches in diameter could be seen floating on the surface. On attempting to retrieve the object, it disintegrated as if attacked by a powerful corrosive. End of report.
Well, you forgot about the men inside. You've got to say something about their size.
We never saw them, Mr. Tanner.
Well, what do you do? Don't do that! Well, Lieutenant,
Mr. Mr. Tanner, I'm doing this for both of us. If I sent in the report, nobody would believe it. It's better this way.
No! It's the truth! You saw it happen. Why, you know it happened.
The only thing I know is there's no proof. As far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen. I never saw anything. I never heard anything. That's going to be my report, Mr. Tanner. No occurrence. Incident closed. Good afternoon, Mr. Tanner.
Under the direction of Anthony Ellis, Escape has brought you The Invader by Michael Gray, starring Howard McNear. Faye Baker was heard as Martha, with Edgar Berrier as the commander. Featured in the cast were Paul Frees, Peter Leeds, Bill Bissell, and Leroy Leonard. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week.
You are alone on the deck of a stinking convict ship, becalmed in a yellow fog, while somewhere in the dark below you, free from the cells that held them, is a deadly band of murderers seeking out your life.
So listen next week when Escape brings you Weston Martyr's exciting story, A Sleeping Draft. Tomorrow night, Lux Radio Theater brings back The Miracle of Our Lady of Fatima for another thrilling performance.
Escape, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 29th, 1953 on CBS, Michael Gray's story, The Invader, his only story, broadcast during radio's yesteryear. It's an hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now an author that had many more stories heard, especially on X-1, it's Clifford C. Mack's Project Mastodon, heard on the X-1 series on June 5th, 1956 on NBC.
Countdown for blastoff. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, Project Mastodon by Clifford D. Simak.
Mr. Secretary, may I present Mr. Hudson of Mastodonia. Mastodonia. Mr. Hudson, this is the Secretary of State.
Honored, sir.
Now, as chief of protocol for the department, I've informed...
All right, Mr. Kingston, I haven't much time. I'm due at a meeting of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee at 2:00. If you've passed Mr. Hudson in, I'll assume everything is quite proper. Now then, Mr. Hudson, I understand you've been here several times seeking recognition for your country.
Well, that's right. I had a hard time making your staff believe I was in earnest.
Are you Mr. Hudson?
Oh, very much so.
You are an American, Mr. Hudson. I assume you are acting as a representative for Macedonia rather than as a principal in the matter.
Oh, no. I claim dual citizenship, sir. I am a Macedonian.
You'll pardon me, but I've never heard of your country.
Well, it's a new nation, but quite legitimate. We have a constitution, a democratic form of government, duly elected officials, and a code of laws. We are a free, peace-loving people, and we are possessed of a vast amount of natural resources, and...
Please tell me, Mr. Hudson, just where are you located? I gathered it was somewhere in Asia?
Oh, no. Technically, you are our nearest neighbors.
That's ridiculous. Now, look here, Hudson, you can't...
If you'll give me just a moment, Mr. Secretary, I have considerable evidence...
I'll have to ask you to leave. I'm sorry, sir,
Go ahead, Mr. Hudson. You've submitted a document signed by a certain Wesley Adams.
Well, he's our first president. You see, we'd like to establish diplomatic relations. After all, we are a sister republic. We'd like to negotiate a trade agreement, and, of course, we'd be grateful for assistance under the foreign aid program.
Naturally. Who wouldn't?
Mr. Secretary.
All right, Kingston.
We're prepared to offer something in return for, one thing. Sanctuary.
Sanctuary?
I understand that in the present state of international tensions, a foolproof sanctuary is not something to be sneezed at.
All right, Kingston, I think we've had enough. Show Mr. Hudson out.
All right, let's have the story again.
Look, mister, I don't want any trouble.
Just tell the story again. You want to cooperate with the FBI, don't you?
Oh, sure I do. Sure, but I just don't want any trouble.
All right, start over. You found the briefcase in the booth.
Yeah, that's right. I brought my beer over from the bar, you know? And this fella just went out a minute before, so I figured he must have left it. I run after him.
You didn't see him, though?
No. So I just kind of looked in the briefcase. You know, I mean, to identify it, that's all. I don't steal.
Then you came to us.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, after all, when I saw that stuff, well, I just figured I was way over my head, you know?
All right. Don't say anything about this, do you understand? We'd rather you just forgot the whole thing.
Oh, sure. Listen, some things I don't want to remember. You know?
Hello? Is this Dr. Harrison of the Paleontology Department? This is Mr. Jenkins at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have some movie film we'd like you to look over. Huh? Oh, we acquired it. Big shaggy elephants and tigers with teeth down to their neck. No, it's not fakes. Our labs are sure of that. Whatever is on those films is real. No, we don't know. That's why we called you. We haven't the slightest idea where those pictures were shot. We can't even guess.
What's the matter, Coop?
One of those flying hypodermics. This is a fine, healthy spot. Mosquitoes as big as hummingbirds.
Oh, careful, son. You're knocking the climate of the capital city of Macedonia.
Yeah, some capital city. One palm tree and a Boy Scout pup tent. Wes, this is the wildest thing we ever did. What if Chuck can't get back?
Chuck Hudson is a man of many parts. Have faith.
Supposing they're putting him in jail, or something might happen to the time unit or the helicopter. We should have gone along.
Do you think they'll do it, Coop?
Who, what?
The United States. Do you think they'll recognize us?
Not if they know that Macedonia is the United States 50,000 years ago.
It's Well, we have to get legal recognition first, otherwise it wouldn't be safe. Well, there goes that mastodon again. Good old Buster.
Where is he?
Right there. Over by the grove, see? Ah, he's lonely.
What?
He probably is. He must have been run out of the herd by some younger bull. That's why he hangs around like some homeless dog.
One thing worries me, Wes. I know you dreamed up the time unit, and we all chipped in for the helicopter, but can you just claim territory on your own like we did?
Why not? We found it. It's ours.
Hey, Buster's coming this way. Give me the rifle.
No, wait, wait, wait. Maybe he's only bluffing.
If that mastodon comes through here, he'll stomp everything flat. I'll give him 3 steps more.
Be such a shame to plaster him. Such a nice old monster.
One more step and he gets it.
Hey. That's Chuck. He's back.
I wish he could fly that helicopter better. He might wreck it.
Well, anyway, he scared Buster off.
Put those fires up, Wes.
Oh, they're high enough, Coop.
You don't want a saber-tooth waltzing through here, do you?
Well, we better get a stockade up. You know, some night a herd of mastodon will come busting in here, and if they ever hit the helicopter, we'll be dead ducks. We'd never get back. We'd be stuck back here in the Pleistocene age. I won't feel safe till we get another helicopter.
Those mastodons carry a lot of ivory. And the mammoths up north.
Oh, sure, sure. And get socked in the jug for smuggling ivory. Only way to cash in on the time unit is to get diplomatic recognition for Mastodonia.
Well, we've got a good case. You said so yourself.
What, a saber tooth?
Down by the grove.
I don't like that. Sounds closer. Hey, poke up that fire, will you, Coop?
Oh, well, that's Buster. There he is. He's tangling with a saber tooth.
Oh, wait. Hey, 3-5 on Buster.
Cat's drawing blood. I'll take $5 of it.
Come on, Buster. Roll on him, will you?
Cat's on his head now. Hey.
Hey, he's coming this way.
Look out.
Wes, turn him. Shoot.
Hey, cut it.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
The tiger's gone. He won't get far.
Neither will we.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah, good old Buster. Trust him to drop dead right across the helicopter.
Well, we can fix it, can't we?
We probably won't even be able to roll Buster off of it. And the rotor blades are twisted and the frame is a mess. A total mess, gentlemen. We are in trouble. Mastodonia faces a crisis.
You're the key man in the administration. You swing a big stick on the hill. You can't give up on Project Mastodon now.
Les, it's been 10 years. If they were coming back, they'd be here by now.
Look, I've been working on this ever since we got those films. I've traced their lives from the time they were born till the time they disappeared. Adams was the brains. The other two were quite capable of helping him carry it out. Hudson knew all the angles.
Les, I've sneaked your appropriation through 4 times. Now, there's a limit.
But I've got the proof. We've had every paleontologist in the country go over those films. They couldn't be faked. Who would know to put lynx tassels on the ears of saber-toothed tigers? Who would know that young mastodons were black? And the location... We tracked down Adams Farm just from landmarks in the prehistoric landscape in those films. We've got to contact them.
Look, Les, even assuming it's all true, a planet has only a grand total of resources. If we get Adams' device...
Time machine.
If we exploit resources of prehistoric America, won't we be robbing ourselves of our own heritage?
Look, Herb, I've been over all that with the AEC. There's a lot of lead in southwestern Wisconsin. If we go back far enough, we can catch it when it's uranium.
The whole research project hasn't turned up a lead on Adam's machine, if it exists.
We've got to keep watching that farm. They might return. We've got to keep looking for them, no matter how long it takes.
Listen, Wes, we can't stay around here much longer. Old Buster's getting a little too strong.
Yeah, well, I'll have the time unit clear the helicopter in a few minutes. And then we'll just have to move camp upwind.
Hmm? Look at him. It's only 2 days since he dropped dead. Bless his heart. Freddy, those vultures are half into him.
I haven't picked clean inside of a week.
Give me the hex wrench, will you?
Wes, is it all right, the time unit?
Well, we won't know until we try it, Coop.
And then, of course, it's too late.
Well, either it does or it doesn't. Problem is, how are we going to use it without the copter?
Couldn't we take a chance on using it on the ground?
No, we have to get up in the air. You want to take a chance of arriving in the 20th century about 6 feet underground.
Wait a minute, Wes. It's got to be higher here than in the 20th century. Look, these hills have stood here since the Jurassic era. They got to be weathered down.
Yeah, I know. The only safe way is to build a platform about 12 feet high. That should be enough to clear us.
But suppose we come out in the other end 2 feet higher.
Well, we fall. Which would you rather do, take a chance on a broken leg or stay
yeah,
here?
Okay. Now, what do we build the platform out of?
The next stone.
Now, wait a minute.
Hey, look out. You want a whole pile to come down?
No, I'm sorry. Okay, Wes, hand it up.
Yep. Hey, give it. That's about 12 feet, isn't it?
Well, it ought to be. It took us 10 days to pile it up. Look out, I'm coming down.
All right, don't start an avalanche.
Well, pretty soon we'll be able to start all over again.
Mm-hmm. If the unit works.
Now, that isn't all. We don't have any proof we've been back here. We'll be stone broke. Another helicopter would cost $30,000. Can't walk into a bank and borrow 30 grand to take a short trip to the Stone Age.
Wes, where do you figure we are? I mean, on the farm.
Well, I think we're clear of the barn and the silo.
I hope so.
The way I figured, we're straddle that barbed wire fence at the south end of the orchard.
Well, we might as well give it a try.
All right, I'll get the unit. You two climb up on top of the pyramid. You ready?
Think it'll work, Wes?
I don't know, Coop. Got pretty well banged up when Buster hit the copter. I haven't got the equipment to check the waveforms. All right, stand around close. Bend your knees a little. Might be quite a drop.
Go ahead. Push the button.
Okay. One. Two. Three.
Nothing.
Doesn't work. Well, that's that. We're stuck.
I'm sorry, Les.
There's nothing you can do, Herb. You've been out of government for 5 years.
If there's anything I can do, the board of directors instructed me to offer you...
No, thank you.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, now that you're retired.
I bought a farm.
Oh?
In Wisconsin.
Well, you haven't given up, have you?
I'm the only one. They closed Project Mastodon down 3 years ago, and they've been hinting ever since that I'd be happier retired. Old Bowers, he's the crackpot from Project Mastodon.
I'm sorry, Les, but it has been 20 years.
Yes, it has. But think of it. From a military point of view, hidden bases in enemy territory itself, centuries removed in time, yet only seconds away. If we had bases like that and shelters...
Relax, Les, it's all over.
Sure, it's all over.
Thank you.
should be more careful. We've only been stuck a month now. Someday we'll run out of ammo, and then it's bows and arrows.
It's cold. There'll be snow soon.
Coop, I'm worried about Wes. He takes it pretty hard.
As long as he's tinkering on that time unit, he's happy.
Oh, he isn't going to repair the unit. He hasn't got a chance. Back in the workshop with the tools, maybe.
Well, anyway, the hunting's great.
Well, maybe we better start saving bullets for big game. We won't be lords of creation around here long without our guns.
Yeah, and if one of us gets sick or breaks a leg... Well, nobody lives forever.
Wes is a lucky one. He's got that time unit to tinker with. Come on. We better get back to camp.
Hey.
Hey, Wes!
Come on.
Wes! Wes!
There's no sign of him. Wait, there's a note on the door.
Wes!
Never mind, listen. Dear guys, I don't want to get your hopes up again and have you disappointed, but I think I may have found the trouble. I'm going to try it out. If it works, I'll be back to get you. Wes.
What, a fool?
That unit can't work. He must be off his rocker.
Wait a minute. Coop, look, that pyramid. It took us 10 days to pile those stones up. It's gone.
The pyramid of rocks. It's gone.
Oh, what the... Of all the confounded... what's going on out there? Rocks? Who dumped those rocks? My car, who's out there?
It's all right.
Don't you move, mister. I got a .45 pointed at you.
Well, I can explain.
Well, you better. There was a brand new car where you dumped that load of rocks. Who the devil are you?
My name is Wesley Adams.
Adams? Man, where have you been all these years?
Well, I don't suppose you'll believe me, but the fact is...
I've been waiting for you for 25 years. The others all gave up.
I'm sorry about your car.
Oh, never mind. I'll be right down. Now, don't touch a thing. Don't go anywhere.
Can't be 25 years. It's only been a few months in Macedonian time.
25 years. Man, it's been a long wait.
The unit must have been badly calibrated. You see, it isn't accurate for more than 50,000 years at a jump if the setting has moved.
Well, we better call Washington. I imagine you'll want the same terms as before.
Hmm? Terms?
Recognition, economic aid from Macedonia, defense pact... Now, listen, Adams, you've got those saps over a barrel. You can get anything you want now.
The unit. I'll have to calibrate to the day to go back for them.
Oh, don't worry about it. You can have every scientist in the country working on it now. Oh, you've got them right where you want them. Hello? Long distance. This is Major General Leslie Bowers, retired. I want to put a call to the President of the United States, White House, Washington. You can tell them I'm placing the call for the President of the Republic of Macedonia.
Come on, Og, son of fire. Put another log on. It's cold.
It's good cold storage for the furs. Boy, when Wes gets back, we'll be millionaires. Furs, ginseng root, ivory.
If he gets back. It's been 5 years.
He'll come back. I feel it in my bones.
Well, he better find it before we get too old to enjoy anything. Unfortunately, there's no Social Security in Macedonia.
Don't you worry. Wes is working on it right now. I can feel it.
Hello, Charlie. Something just came through on the ticker. I want you to get a background story on it. And we just recognized Macedonia. What? How should I know where it is? Look it up in the encyclopedia. Huh? No, the item says formal recognition was delayed 5 years until communication could be established. Certain technical difficulties. What? I don't know. Wherever it is, I don't see what difficulties could hold up 5 years. It stands to reason wherever the place is, you could walk there in 5 years. Nah, it's not important. You know these postage stamp countries. Monaco, Luxembourg, they're all alike. What's so different about Macedonia?
You have just heard X Minus One, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features the Theodore Sturgeon novelette, The Skills of Xanadu. When a malignant world endangers another, surgery is the usual answer. But perhaps there's another solution, to kill it with kindness. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Project Mastodon, a story from the pages of Galaxy, written by Clifford D. Simak and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Floyd Mack, Dick Hamilton, Charles Penman, Raymond Edward Johnson, Frank Maxwell, Robert Hastings, John Larkin, and Joseph Julian. Your announcer is Jerry Damon. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
X-1 on Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of June, 1956 on NBC, Clifford C. Mack's story, Project Mastodon. And that brings to a close this hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.